Podcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, this is The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. An interview show where creative people talk about what inspires them to pursue their dreams and do what they love. And now, your host, Karis Thomas.
Okay, welcome. Thanks for joining us, listeners. I'm your host, Karis Thomas. And with me today is my fabulous co-host, Matt Stewart.
Yo.
And our guest for this time around, the fabulous Brittany Mumford.
Yay.
Yay. We're
Thank
so
you.
Glad you made it.
Thank you so much for having me. And my apologies for being late.
Well, that's all right. We were somewhat patient.
Yes.
Yet forceful.
Yeah, we like our guests to be here.
Exactly.
It helps. Sort of,
yeah, it does.
When you're interviewing someone. Yeah. If really they're
does.
In the room.
Yeah. So, Glammy. Yeah, because I have to call you that. I can't call
is
you.
Is that for the whole interview?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So. I don't think anyone actually knows what my real name is. They just know me as Glammy.
That's good.
In the theater community.
I think that should be your Facebook name, frankly. But anyways, Glammy, I want you to tell those people out there who don't know you just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in London, Ontario. I feel like I'm doing a dating profile right now.
kind of are.
I don't know. There's not really that much interesting to say about me. I did a double major at Western. One of those majors was film studies. And consequently, I am going off to Toronto in 2 weeks to do my master's in film studies. But for the last 4 years, I've been really involved in theater in London, which is something I've always really wanted to be a part of. But I never really had the opportunity growing up to do theater. So I've just been really blessed to kind of be really warmly welcomed into the community. Mm-hmm. Even though I have almost no training whatsoever, it's been really awesome being a part of it and kind of learning as I go.
Out of curiosity, what was the other major?
English literature.
Okay, so you're a smarty pants.
Well, it's one of those things where you graduate university and you're like, now what am I going to do with my life? Because what can you possibly do with a double major in English literature and film studies? It's
you go to grad school.
Yes, or you become a teacher, but there's no jobs for teachers either. And mm-hmm. I do not have the patience to be a teacher, I think. Mm. So, I guess you could say smart, but I'm not someone who believes that you have to go to university to be considered intelligent, because I know a ton of people who like haven't even graduated high school that are smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Sure.
So, yeah.
You're just edumacated.
Edumacated.
Like,
yes.
Mr. Simpson.
I did English. Yeah.
So as we were patiently waiting for your arrival, Matt and I and Luke, we were sort of discussing your impending departure. And one of our questions that we wanted to ask you was like, why the heck are you leaving us?
You know, it's hard because I'm getting ready to go. I really don't want to leave. It's so hard to leave. And especially because I really feel like I am a part of theater in London now. I've become really involved with not even so much just at the Palace now, with other companies as well. And I actually just joined the board of directors of a new company that just started in London, the Voices Collective. Shout out to them.
Very cool.
It's really hard to leave, but I've always considered doing my master's. It was always something I thought about doing, but just after university, I was so burnt out at the end of it. And I thought I'd just take a year off. And Matt can attest to this. I was always saying I was going to move to Toronto and never moved to Toronto.
Every year she was moving to Toronto in September, and it never happened for a solid 5 years.
I seem to recall hearing this once or twice.
Yeah. Yes. What happened was
every
that,
time you didn't, I was glad
yeah.
that you didn't, because I had a role for you in a show. But
yes. I could probably blame you for at least like one or two of those not moving to Toronto things, because I think anyone who does theater can attest to, you think you're going to move on, and then someone comes to you with, I'm doing this show and I really think that you should audition, and you see the cast list and you're like, oh, these people are amazing. And like, I would do anything to do this show. And so you're like, okay, I'll postpone and I'll do the show. And that'll be the last show that I do. And so I think I've done 5 last shows I've done. Like, that was my entire career in London, was like, this is the last show. But the other thing that happened was that I really severely injured my back and I was off work for about a year and a half. And that year and a half was simultaneously the most frustrating experience of my life, but also a really fortunate one, because I was able to really think about what I wanted to do. And I think that's when I made the decision that I think grad school is what I want to do.
Cool.
So yeah, that's kind of what pushed me to really to do it. And like, having a year of doing nothing really makes you want to move on with your life and do anything.
Something.
Yeah, yeah, something, anything. So
so you've explained why you haven't left us until now, mm-hmm. but you haven't really explained what you're going to. So yes. Tell us about the program and why you're excited, and because I know that you applied to a few,
mm-hmm.
And you got to pick, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was really fortunate that I got into a couple different programs. I really didn't think I was going to get into anything. I knew.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, so did my mom. So did you, Matt, right?
Yeah, we all knew.
She
was just being the typical grad studies.
Well, the typical glammy. No, yeah. I'm not glamorous. No, I won't get in.
Well, I don't know. I knew it was going to be a competitive field. And because I hadn't done school in so long, it's hard to get back into that like academic mindset, you know, sure. where like writing my entrance letters and letters of intent and my thesis proposal, I was like, what am I even doing? And I haven't done school in 4 years. But it went really well. And I, of course, like, it went well because I got accepted into a couple different programs. And I chose to go to York University. They have I'm doing a master's in cinema and media studies.
Nice.
So what really kind of intrigued me about York was that it's the oldest film program in the country. York University was the first university to implement film studies as like
an
area of study. So yeah, I was told by a couple different people to pick a school that had a long-standing program, because you don't want to get into a program that's still kind of finding its feet, because then you kind of get lost in the shuffle. I'm really excited about it. I get to do, instead of one of my courses, you can choose to do an internship. So I'm going to apply for a couple of different internships in Toronto. Toronto is kind of where I wanted to be. I got into a program at Carleton, which was a really great program also, but Toronto is kind of where, that's where I would like to make my life and my career if I was fortunate enough to work in film as a career. I'm going to go to TIFF in September to kind of see what it's all about, because I would really love to work at the Toronto International Film Festival. I'm kind of excited about getting back into, like, I talk about film all the time. Like, anyone who knows me knows I don't shut up about movies.
No. Movies that I don't even know about. I have a conversation about.
Yeah, it's true. I never shut up.
A one-ended conversation.
And I'm kind of excited to go and talk to people about film who are a little bit maybe more tolerant of hearing me ramble about movies.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going anywhere where the people that there share your passion or are like-minded, it's
inspiring.
Which is what we're about here at what a Lovers of Dreamers.
Good segue, Matt. Nice. Good segue.
I'm on it. I'm on my game today.
So if you are bending somebody's ear about a film or a filmmaker or something, what do you have a favorite type or filmmaker, or is there a style, or is there a particular kind of scene? Like, I don't want to narrow it down and say, tell me your desert island movie, because that's impossible.
Yeah. But every time people find out that I did a major in film studies, they're like, what's your favorite movie? I'm like, how can anyone answer that question? No one.
What's your favorite Muppet?
Yeah.
Well, I can't answer that, but I love them all.
You can't. It's hard, right? And like, on some days you like some Muppets, on some days you like other Muppets.
Which,
you know,
Muppet do you feel like today? You know, those little stickers on your fridge? You should have like, which movie do you feel like today?
Exactly.
Which Muppet do you feel like today? Like, you should be able to have all of those things.
So yeah, favorite movie, favorite film style,
or genre, or something. Like.
Yeah, it's funny because when I was in film at Western, it was an interesting experience because I found, wow, I feel like I'm not going to make any friends saying this, but a lot of times in film studies, you get very, I'm trying to find a diplomatic way of saying this, but I'm not going to say diplomatic, I'm just going to
say it.
Sure, go.
Pretentious.
Yes, that's the word I was going to use, pretentious. People are a little
does
bit pretentious.
Does that happen in art school, Matt?
It does, actually.
Yeah.
It really does.
I think you find people, well, maybe their favorite movies are really obscure, like Hong Kong filmmakers. But for me, I really enjoy, like, my interests lie in kind of pop culture, blockbuster, like science fiction, horror, that nice. Kind of genre, like genre movies, you know? And so if you had to ask me, you know, a movie that I've seen over and over and over again, like I would pick something like Die Hard, right?
Okay.
I do like, excuse me, foreign films. I grew up watching foreign films. My parents were really into kind of obscure, they have a different taste in movies. You know, I grew up watching older stuff, foreign movies. So I really enjoy that also. I really like, I'd be hard pressed to say there's a type of movies I extremely dislike.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to go watch a movie for pure enjoyment, it's going to be something where like things are exploding for sure.
Nice.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's probably, I'm trying to think of, I can't really pick like a, there's a lot of directors that I could pick and say, this is someone that I've seen every movie they've made and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Probably right now, Danny Boyle is one of my favorite directors. He did Trainspotting, 28 Days Later. He just recently directed Frankenstein at the National Theater in London, England, which was phenomenal. He's done a lot of different stuff too. He did he actually directed the opening ceremonies of the Olympics randomly. He did that movie with James Franco, why am I blanking on the name of it, 127 hours, thank you. So I love him as a director because he's done so many different things, and everything I've seen, he did Slumdog Millionaire, like everything I've seen okay. that he's done is different and interesting mm-hmm. and amazing, right? And I think that would be someone that I'd really idolize as a filmmaker because he's able to cross genres in that way.
Nice.
So yeah, see, don't shut up. I never shut up.
That's okay. That's okay. So yeah, so you'd like to be immersed in the whole world of film and mm-hmm. know everything. So you alluded like you'd like to make a career in film mm-hmm. in Toronto. If like some rich guy walked in the room right now, you know, we were talking earlier, if Daniel Radcliffe with like $1 billion in his pocket said, hi, I heard your name is Brittany Mumford, better known as Glamazon. Here's $1 million, go off, have your career, whatever you want to do. Like, what would that be? What would you turn it into?
Oh man, if I had unlimited funds to just do whatever,
yeah,
I would probably be a filmmaker, and I don't know in what capacity that would fall under, whether that would be like directing a movie. I would really love to get into producing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had unlimited funds, I'd love to grab someone who you know, has a great idea, like
and
a vision for something,
happen.
And help them make that happen. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. But I like, I'm interested in all facets. Like, I've, you know, I thought about cinematography, makeup artistry, casting, and on the other side of it, I really would love to work at the, not even at TIFF, at like any kind of festival. They do Hot Docs in Toronto, you know, even like smaller film festivals,
mm-hmm.
Which is why it's great what we've been doing at the Palace Theater with the mini film festivals they've been doing over the summer.
Right.
That's just kind of like a small taste of something I'd love to do, because I am interested in like all kinds of film. And I'm one of those people.
So not everybody listening is going to know what we've been doing at the Palace. So can you like fill
yeah.
in?
Yeah. The Palace Theater used to be a movie theater before. Well, it's kind of on and off over the years has been a movie theater, a vaudeville theater, you know. And so just recently, in the first time in like 30 years, the Palace Theater started showing movies again. And so a group of us kind of got together and talked about it. And over the summer, we've been doing different kind of mini festivals of directors. So we did Alfred Hitchcock. This week is John Hughes. The last week of August is Quentin Tarantino.
This weekend is our drag festival.
Yeah, a drag festival we did. We started off with musical movies. It's just been really great. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of people aren't aware that it's happening because it just started.
It's brand new.
Yeah, so I think once...
So if you're listening, come to the Palace.
Come to the
See
Palace.
See a movie.
It's comfy. There's air conditioning. Once it gets cold, there'll be heating. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And let's be honest here. They wanted to make it happen. They were looking for someone to help, and I told them to contact you. And it went from there.
Yeah.
So I just threw your name in the ring and said, she's the person that we want. And then we got a committee of people. So
yeah. Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, it was kind of like me and Faith, Faith Coates, who works at the Palace.
Yeah.
And me and her just kind of picking through it. And then it was great once we kind of all got together because, you know, you need like just if it was just me doing festivals at the Palace Theater like that, no one would come. Like it would be like the most ridiculous, like me picking the most ridiculous movies and like watching them.
We got some good lists.
Go.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd go.
Yeah. Yeah. Be like,
and you were responsible for all the Hitchcock submissions that we had, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have. Although, shockingly, it's because I got it like bootlegged off like from Japan. But I have this like... Like I'm
You've now
quotes.
Told the world that yeah. you have illegal copies of these movies.
I got it off eBay. Okay, it was legal. And it was supposedly like a full collection of Hitchcock. And then right before we did that festival, I opened it. There's no Psycho and there's no Rear Window. And
wow.
I was like, so we had to rent them from the library.
Okay.
But you know, it all worked out.
But everything at the Palace is legal. We've paid the rights. We have the royalties to show these movies, people. Don't anybody get worried. Right.
Maybe. Yeah. Can we edit this part out?
No, Luke, leave it in there. He likes to embarrass people.
Yes. So, yeah. So that's been really great. It's like, for me, like a good resume builder, you know, something to put on my resume. Because it's just, we've just been volunteering our time.
Yeah.
And it's good because of my back. I don't have a job right now. And so this is really kind of filled in my time.
Yeah. Well, and at the Palace, it's really great for us to have someone like you with your knowledge and your passion to make it happen.
Well, that's great. Thank you for saying that.
So Maddie, I know you had some fun questions.
I do.
I have a few more, so I might interject, but I want you to like.
I'm kind of nervous about what Matt's going to say.
She's on the friendly couch with you.
Tame one.
Okay, good.
You have to. You're known as a glamazon.
Oh God, yeah.
Everybody who meets you for the first time, we introduce you as our glamazon.
Right.
Or glammy.
Or glammy for short. Tell our listeners about what a glamazon is. Why you're a glamazon.
That's,
where that came from.
That's hard for me to say because I've never seen myself in that way. I can tell you the origins of it.
Yes, please do.
Karis and I were doing a show called Nine at the Palace Theater a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And our good friend Kate Harder was also in that show. And maybe you should tell it because I don't even really know.
I want to hear your version.
I guess
it.
We should say I'm very tall for one. Very tall. And so kind of, you might say Amazonian in that way. And then.
Okay. So you don't know this
Karis,
part.
Okay.
Now, Kate and I were sitting there because, of course, as per usual, we weren't being used in the rehearsal and you were up dancing and looking fabulous. And Kate sneaks over and sits to me and we didn't really know you that well yet.
No.
It was early on. And she's like, look at that girl. And I'm like, I know. Gross. I want to die. And she's like, she's so glamorous. I said, I know. And she's an Amazon. And then we snapped our heads and looked at each other and went, she's a glamazon. And then later in that self-same rehearsal, we went over and told you that you were from henceforth glamazon.
Yes. And I believe that day also you both, we walked for lunch and you both grabbed my ass at the same time. And that was like the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Sounds like it would happen.
Yeah, so then when we did Karis directed Follies, which Karis and Matt and I were all in.
And Luke
I was
did
at,
the poster.
Yes, and Luke did the poster. We were
of
all
your
involved.
Glamorous
oh,
face.
God, my face was on the poster.
It was on a bus.
Yeah. And so then at the auditions for that, Karis was like, Glammy, like, come stand like in the middle or something. And literally at one point during the rehearsal process of Follies, Bronwyn, one of the ladies in the show, someone said, Brittany, do this and this. And she was like, who's Brittany? And I was like, yeah, I'm Brittany. That's me. That's my actual name. Thanks.
Yeah, because I absolutely love that story that she did not know that your name was not Glammy. She also didn't know what Munchkin's real name was.
Yeah,
either.
Or Sassy. Yeah. 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 So that's just Karis making all these great, great
and
nicknames.
Xavier. Remember Xavier?
Xavier.
So yeah, but it's funny because before I did, you know what, I probably have to give it to Angela Southern for casting me in Nonsense as like the slutty Catholic schoolgirl. Before I did that show, that was the first show I did with MTP, I never really thought of myself as glamorous or like that kind of like on stage like sex appeal. I'm like very frumpy, clumsy.
You
awkward.
Dress like a pirate every day.
I dress like a pirate.
But you do
in
it
my
so
everyday
fabulously
life.
And glamorously.
Yeah. Well, today you're pretty subdued.
Well, I know. I'm wearing a nice dress for this radio appearance. You know, gotta look for radio over here.
It's good.
It's just kind of for me, I've never really felt like a glamazon, but I really appreciate everyone who's kind enough to say that to me.
So hopefully when people meet you in the future, they'll just go, oh, you're that girl, Glammy.
Yeah. Oh.
Great question. What else, Matt?
Okay, so this one's a little going to be a fun one.
Okay.
So I know that you write a blog.
Okay, yeah.
And we'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also an actress.
Mm-hmm.
So if your creative being had a smell... What would it smell like and why?
If my creative being had a smell, that's hard.
No, it's not. It's an easy question. Come on.
What would you say?
I don't know.
See? It's hard.
A sweaty Amazonian woman?
A sweaty Amazonian. Like, I would say, I can't really think of the exact thing it would smell like, but maybe something.
It could be a blended scent. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It could be a made-up scent.
Mustard on toast. I would say it'd be something sharp that maybe like once you first smell it, you'd be like, oh God, what is that? And then once you became accustomed to it, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of nice. Like maybe
a lemon musk.
Yeah, like a lemon musk. Like pledge. Lemon pledge.
Like lemon pledge. I like that.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
I'm just because I'm thinking of that blog that's kind of defunct now. But maybe once I go away to school, I'll try to upkeep it more. But all that blog was me ranting about things like rant like Dawson's Creek or The Bachelor, like just me having explosive rants full of rage.
So you
not rage, but like what is happening?
Passion and
passion.
So when you go away to school, you're going to be confronted with all kinds of ideas and things.
Yeah.
So you can take that passion and pour it into there.
Yeah.
And then all of us who you've left can read it and
keep up
with you.
Yeah,
your
well,
new
just
big city rage.
I know.
You'll
well,
have some new rage.
And I kind of have a feeling I'm going to be like in my one bedroom apartment, like a crazy hermit, like just ranting about the world. And it'll, you know, then you
Lord
guys can keep in touch with
nothing
me.
Nothing to rant about in Toronto.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Just like I'll be listening to these podcasts being like, oh, I miss Karis and Matt and Luke and everyone, Carrie.
So I'm gonna tag off that and then throw it back to you, Matt. I want to talk about like your style and the things that you like and that you know about, and your personal style is so eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
We alluded to how you dress like a pirate, listeners. She really does. Like she'll take this fabulous vintage dress and then she'll put this amazingly huge belt with it, and then she'll wear like work boots, and she's still glamorous and amazing. But every day, like somewhere, there's something piratey. But I'm wondering if you're eclectic style and eclectic taste is something that's conscious, or is it that you're just drawn to all kinds of different things?
Yeah. I think sometimes I see something someone's wearing and I think, oh, I really like that. But then I would wear something similar to what they're wearing, and then I'll just keep adding things until it's something that I'm really comfortable in. I'm really all about people wearing what they're comfortable wearing, whether that's something really bizarre, whether that's something very trendy, whether that's something very comfortable. I don't think everyone needs to have like an original, unique style. I think that people need to be comfortable in what they're wearing. And for me, like, what I'm comfortable wearing is like interesting things, you know? Like sometimes I see people on the street and they're just wearing like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and I'm like, that looks cute on them, but on me, I would be so bored. Like I would just be bored, you know? And because it's kind of maybe not a great thing, because I am so tall that when I wear something weird, it like really does stand out. especially
it's
when
so big.
Yes. And especially when I'm wearing like work boots, which make me like 6'3". Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have this 6'3" girl like clomping around in her work boots wearing like a vintage dress from the 1940s, right? Yeah. So, but I'm very inspired by vintage style. I love the 1940s, the 1960s. The 1920s. We're like, those are like, that's my jam. And the 80s also, like there's just like, and then I just like pull like little bits of different things. I also really like, because I'm a bit larger, I find vintage clothes fit my body better. Mm. I find in like going shopping today, like at the mall, they make everything for very small people.
Not my version of small.
No. Like small 12-year-old girls, yeah. Right? So, and unfortunately, I'm not 12 and I have hips, you know, so I can't wear pants that are built for 12-year-old girls with no right. hips. So, yeah, so that's, I'm just really drawn to something I'm very comfortable in, I think. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, when you're in a show per se,
yeah,
and you get a character, and you're trying to think about how to do it, how to portray this character, when does your aha moment come? How does it come? And then how do you get those creative juices flowing to bring that to life?
That's interesting. Probably. There's like a moment, I don't know, for me personally, maybe you guys will have something different to say. There's a moment where you're like acting the character, and something you do feels like really natural, really comfortable, but not natural like this is something I would say, really natural like this is something that this person would say, this character would say. And I just feel like really steady on my own two feet. And that doesn't mean that, like, the character is steady. I feel like I'm not explaining it very well. But, like, for example, when we did Legally Blonde, like, that was a really awkward, kind of angry, aggressive character.
She was cool.
Yeah, but that's not, like, a lot of my friends saw that and they're like, I saw a lot of you in that. But really? I didn't feel that she was very similar to me.
No, you're not a butchy lesbian at all.
So,
but she was so grounded.
Yeah.
My character was really grounded.
Yeah. So I think I just got really comfortable feeling the emotions that she would feel, right? And that character was hard because, you know, Jesse D'Souza, who I love, played Elle Woods. And I have to really detest Elle Woods through the first act of the show. And so there's a couple moments where I just felt very uncomfortable because I was like, too much of me is reacting to Jesse and like being endeared by her. Mm-hmm. And once I felt distaste for her character and felt comfortable with that distaste, that's when I was like, okay, that I'm like more comfortable.
I've figured out this person.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've never, unfortunately, really had the opportunity to really do like a full character. I've kind of played more like abstract, like in Follies, I was more like an abstract concept as opposed to like a character, you know?
But she was grounded too.
Yeah, but it was easier for me to do that because...
She's a ghost.
Yeah, and I just kind of drifted in and out, you know? There was no...
The costume really made it, too.
Yeah, like, it was like once you get in that, like, 3-foot-tall feather headdress, it's easy to be like, here I am.
To fall into it.
Yeah.
To take hold of
me.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I remember the first rehearsal when we were blocking the whole overture and explaining how the lights were going to come up on you. And I remember you and the other two main ghosts going... Really, wow, we're like the center of this thing coming alive. But the music for all of that really just told the story. And I just remember in that first rehearsal when we were piecing it together, the moment where all the ghosts turned and saw the marquee light up, that when you guys physically did it with the music in the room, the whole cast of like 48 people were like, oh my gosh, this is gonna work. I mean, and that's huge credit to Sondheim.
Yeah. I just have chills thinking about that music. So haunting and beautiful.
Yeah. Follies. And just, and the way Steve lit you in that opening segment. Like, I mean, I knew that you were going to be my main ghost once I was going to do that show. That was one of those times when I was like, you're auditioning, right? And you were like, I think I might go to Toronto. No, you're auditioning. and then Becky's costuming and that amazing headdress. It was just like, it just all comes together.
And I have to say, Follies is probably the only show that I've done that the whole rehearsal process and the whole time we were in the theater and even performing, I didn't feel nervous or apprehensive. I felt so comfortable. And just like, I think maybe it's just because I really trusted you, like what was happening. I also had a bit easier of a time than, like, I know Matt, you did a lot of complicated dance, you know, stuff than
like
I did.
Yeah, I was going to outside tango lessons and stuff like that to figure everything
well,
out.
Well, and the big number with the three boys, that was hard.
That's what I always think of, the right girl
was a really difficult one. And I don't think I 100% got it until halfway through the run.
It was a hard number.
Until it like clicked with me and I was like, yes.
But I really did feel...
And there were no sharp pointy objects like swords or guns going off in Bali.
Exactly. And so for me, it was just like... And everyone was so great. And I really felt like in the show, I kind of like drift in and out and like kind of I'm just always around. Like that was like my character. And like backstage, I was like that too. Like people were like quick changing and like getting ready to go. And I was just like, la, la, la. Like going around.
Floating past. Nice.
Ducking under door frames to like get my headdress through there. And so that's I don't even know what we're talking about anymore, but
we're
Follies
talking about
was great.
Aha moments and, and we've kind of alluded to different ways that you get them.
The kind of stuff. A lot of the time, especially in theater, it just happens. You're reading your character and you're just it hits you.
You'll do something different and you're like, oh, this
there it is.
This feels right.
We could go on for hours talking to the fabulous Glamazon, but we do try to keep our podcast to a a listenable, you know, drive to work, listen to us rant on about inspirational things. Sadly, maybe we'll do a part two somewhere in the middle of your degree.
I would
when
love
you're done
to come
or,
back
or something.
Thank you so much for having me and talking to me, and I'm very honored to be on the show. Third guest.
Yay.
Second guest, I guess, because first guest was just you and Carrie.
Special. One thing we do like to do is we ask our guests if they sing and if they're comfortable singing to choose a song that can be Muppet related but absolutely does not have to be. And have you chosen a song?
Well, I have. It wasn't so much I chose it as you and I chose it together. I had heard this song before, but I didn't even think of it. But when you played it for me, I was like, this is
perfect
for me going away to school. This is perfect.
Especially for us three together.
Yes. For the three of us.
Yes, and I think we're even going to have Luke do a bit of backup with us as well.
You are.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you our ridiculous rendition of the Muppet Babies song, I'm Gonna Always Love You, from the Muppets Take Manhattan. So please stick with us as we transition to that setup. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for joining us on The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. See you next time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we like to do for you an old favorite. We like to think of our group as being able to play more than hard rock. So here's an old favorite for some of you moms and pops. It's called And We'll Play Tenderly.
Caress the trees
tenderly.
Yeah. The trembling trees embrace the breeze
tenderly.
No matter what life may bring, no matter what I may do, be sure of one special thing. I'm gonna always be loving you.
I'm gonna be a movie.
Thank you. our children are born. 'Cause I wanna be a good mommy too, and I'm gonna always love you.
Mama gaga, boop boop chihuahua.
Mama gaga, boop boop chihuahua. Mama gaga, boop boop chihuahua. Wow, 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 wow.
Daddy's gonna be a movie star, and he's gonna learn to drive a car. She's gonna be a veterinarian too, and I'm gonna always love you. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Well, she's gonna be a singer, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And I'm gonna learn to fly a plane.
She'll be a doctor for diseases and help you with your sneezes.
Thanks for joining us at The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You. We'd love to hear from you, and you can do that at thelovers.thedreamersandyou.com or by finding us on Twitter or Facebook. This has been a Luke Bainbridge production. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll see you next time for another edition of The Lovers, The Dreamers, and You.
Life's like a movie, write your own ending. Keep believing, keep pretending. We've done just what we've set out to do. Thanks to the lovers, the dreamers, and you.